It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Janice Dean.
I'm David Asman.
I'm Dana Perino, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Wednesday, November 30th, 2022. Elisa Brady. The president presses Congress to keep railroads on track, but some unions are pushing back.
It shouldn't take the president or Congress intervening to get the railroads to share one penny of every dollar of record profits to provide basic protections for railroad workers.
I'm Dave Anthony. They are sick of COVID. Protesters speaking out in China against lockdowns and quarantines.
They are saying no to authoritarian rule, and they're saying yes to freedom, democracy, and decency.
And I'm Will Kane, and I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
With the U.S. facing a possible rail strike as soon as next week, President Biden is calling on lawmakers to step in and prevent it by imposing the tentative agreement that 4 of the 12 unions recently rejected.
Congress, I think, has to act to prevent it. It's not an easy call, but I think we have to do it. The economy's at risk.
The president holding a White House meeting with top congressional leaders from both parties yesterday. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi telling reporters a vote is now expected today.
I don't like going against the ability of unions to strike, but weighing the equities, we must avoid a strike.
She says what's on the table would be an improved situation, and the president says work would continue going forward on unresolved issues. The agreement includes a 24% pay raise over 5 years, but the main sticking points have been working conditions, especially paid sick time. And there's bipartisan concern in the Senate about forcing unions to accept it.
It's incumbent upon Congress to do everything that it can to protect these workers, to make sure that the railroad starts treating them with the respect and the dignity that they deserve.
Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders calls the railroad industry an example of outrageous corporate greed. President Biden says a strike would be catastrophic, that without the freight rail system operating, many industries would shut down, devastating the economy and hurting millions of workers and families.
Congress shouldn't have to intervene.
Peter Kennedy is director of strategic coordination and research for BMWED, the Teamsters Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees division.
The railroad should do the right thing here to begin with. But the railroads are just simply bad actors. And so now you're going to see Congress intervene. And our hope is, if Congress does intervene, that they intervene and impose 7 paid sick days for railroad workers along with the tentative agreement, national agreement, and carrier-specific agreements that we reached along with the side letters as well.
So you're hoping that instead of just the tentative deal that was announced in September, there are some tweaks made by Congress. What if that doesn't happen? What if it's just the basic tentative deal that 4 unions have already rejected?
Well, we believe that if Congress is going to legislate a solution, they should legislate the paid sick leave with the tentative agreements in general. So really, the only change that we're asking for is the tentative agreements plus 7 paid sick days. Now, that being said, if it doesn't happen, BMWD is not giving up on this issue anytime soon. We've been fighting over this issue for over 50 years, and we're going to keep fighting. We're going to put pressure on the administration. We're going to put pressure on the people in the halls of Congress, and we're going to ask them to continue to support railroad workers in one way, shape, or form or another, and find a pathway to provide paid sick days for all railroad workers.
You're certainly not alone. I mean, the Railroad Workers United put out a statement really excoriating the president for calling on Congress to step in and saying that Democrats and Republicans are both pawns of big business and the corporations. The president and congressional leaders are arguing, though, they're trying to look at the big picture. They're worried about the economic impacts of what a strike could do and pointing out that it could mean, you know, lost jobs, including union jobs.
Yeah, BMWD National Division is not affiliated with RWU, so I can't speak to or speculate what they think and feel. But I will say that I believe in my Biden's heart of hearts that he believes a national strike would be ruinous to the economy. And obviously, it would have an adverse impact on the economy. But look, at the end of the day, the railroads have been bad actors all along. They have been putting the industry in a free fall for the last few years now. Their services are awful. They've deteriorated rapidly, especially in more recent years. And that's primarily because they've cut 45,000 workers. And the railroads want the remaining workers to live their lives out on the tracks. And look, rail services are not going to improve until the railroads are adequately staffed and the railroads begin to provide basic human decency within the workplace. And that starts with providing paid sick days. So we don't disagree that the tentative agreement is an improvement. And we also don't disagree that this is one of the best recommendations that have come from a presidential emergency board in the last, you know, approximately 45 years. But by the same token, we still need paid sick days. That's a real issue and it needs addressed. And this came to light during the COVID pandemic. When this all happened, it really demonstrated there's a need for paid sick leave in the industry, not only for maintaining decent working conditions for the workers, but also for the effective operation of the railroads.
I know, as you say, the pandemic may have sort of brought it to the fore, but it because it's been such a longstanding issue, this quality of life issue about the paid sick days, why dig in on it now?
Well, we tried to address it beforehand, but the railroads refused to negotiate with us throughout the process over this issue. In fact, BMWD was going to attempt a nationwide safety strike on Union Pacific Railroad about 3 years ago, because, or 2 years ago, because of this very issue, lack of protections within the workplace due to COVID-19. And the railroads went to court and sued to enjoin us, and they were successful in that. And it took more or less the threat of a strike to get the railroads to do anything, to even listen to us remotely about the hazardous working conditions within the workplace with regards to the pandemic. And so the issue has not gone away. There's still a need for paid sick time off in the workplace. The problem has become, though, or the reason why it's been brought to light even more, is not just the COVID-19 pandemic. It's the fact that there's 45,000 less workers out on the tracks now. And so they have no bodies to back up or fill in spaces for people when they have to call off. And so workers are being harassed, they're being retaliated against, and they're being disciplined for calling in sick. And so once we address this issue, I believe that you're going to see the workplace improve. I believe that you're also going to see the railroad services start to improve.
Let's elaborate for people exactly what the unions mean by paid sick time, because I think some people might hear the proposed pay increases involved with the tentative deal and think, hey, that sounds pretty good. When you say paid sick time, what do you mean? Like, if you need a day off to go to the doctor's office, is it unpaid?
Look, the railroads have created a false number regarding annual earnings. They're running around saying that our members or railroaders in general make nearly $160,000 a year. Well, that's just bogus. Railroaders do not make anywhere near that. The average maintenance away worker makes nearly half of that if they work, you know, 50 hours a week and they're fully employed throughout the entire year. And most of our members are living their lives away from home while they're making that kind of money. So they don't even come anywhere near that $160,000 a year mark. But even then, with respect to your question about paid sick time off, what we're asking for is for members to be able to, when they wake up feeling ill, or if they have a child that's fallen ill, the members can take the day off first without discipline or fear of retaliation, and second with pay. In other words, that they would receive their regular earnings for that day while they're off work addressing a health issue. And so we're not asking for it to be just given to us, by the way. We're asking for our members to earn it, because maintenance away workers and several other railroad workers in this industry have 0 days that are paid for sickness. But what's interesting enough is all the people that work in offices, all the suits, all the executives, they have paid time off. They have paid sick days.
Each side essentially blames the other for not resolving the sick time issue. Association of American Railroads President and CEO Ian Jeffries says carriers would welcome a discussion about structural changes in sick time, but suggests right now is too late.
That's appropriate to be done at the outset of a round, not something that should be done at the 0 hour of a long round after we have a pattern in place.
A pattern meaning 8 unions have already approved the tentative deal, but those unions are expected to support the ones that have authorized a December 9th strike. And President Biden is urging Congress to pass the existing deal without making any changes.
A strike would definitely have an adverse impact on our economy. There's no question about it. But let's come back to who the real culprit is here. It's the railroads, and it's also Wall Street, by the way, because they've influenced the railroad industry to adopt this precision scheduled railroad modeling, and they've masterfully worked at this and cut the bodies down so there's nobody to do the work anymore, hardly, and the people that are left over are forced to live out there and do all this work, and again, under fear of retaliation if they don't show up. And so the real culprit here is the railroads, and it's Wall Street. And they're the ones who should be held accountable or should be blamed for the status that we're in right now. It shouldn't take the president or Congress intervening to get the railroads to share one penny of every dollar of record profits to provide basic protections for railroad workers. We have no desire to go on strike. It is not our intention to cause any sort of harm to the economy or harm any sort of customer of the railroad or the general public for that matter. All we're asking for is that when we are feeling ill or when our members are down and they're most vulnerable, that they have some sort of basic protection against that, and that's paid sick days.
How, I'm just wondering how the tentative agreement became a tentative agreement without a real resolution of that issue, since it is such a sticking point, at least for four of the unions.
I'll be honest with you. The railroads absolutely refuse to embrace in any sort of discussions or engage in any sort of discussions other than what the PEB's recommendations were. And so BMWD and I believe several other crafts did their best to try and come up with an agreement that they believed would pass muster or pass a vote. And unfortunately, we engaged in that process. The membership spoke. They cast their democratic or went through the democratic process and casted their vote. And here we are now. We have a rejected agreement. The majority of railroad workers in this country voted this agreement down, their tentative agreement down. And yet somehow the railroads are trying to make this look like we're the bad guys. They're the ones that refuse to engage in the negotiations with the unions that represent the workers, by the way. And the railroads are the ones who are hijacking this process, no one else.
So if Congress does intervene, if they force an agreement on the railroad workers at this point, what happens next?
Well, if Congress imposes an agreement or if they pass law that gets passed and signed into law, then the agreement applies. Workers are not allowed to legally strike and the issue goes away with respect to the resolution of the dispute. But it doesn't take away the issue of the lack of paid sick days, and we will continue to pursue that.
Have you heard any union members talking about maybe leaving the job en masse? If that happens, would they actually quit over this issue?
We have had several reports from members stating to the effect of once they receive their retroactive wage payments or their back pay, as it's often referred to as in this industry, they intend to seek alternative employment, if not leave the railroad immediately. If that does happen, we still have a crisis on our hands because, as I'm sure you've seen, the railroads are not functioning at a high level. Their services are atrocious right now. Their customers are filing public complaints and engaging in public hearings, potentially against their own interests at times. And lately, the railroads have had no issues whatsoever pushing back customers and not providing them services or even, you know, using embargoes and telling them that they're not going to move their materials anytime soon. So it's a bad state in the industry right now. And if paid sick leave does not get addressed in the near future, I believe that this industry is going to continue to, it's going to continue to degrade, and you're going to see more workers leaving.
Well, Peter Kennedy, I'm sure we'll be talking to you again, Director of Strategic Coordination and Research for the Teamsters Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
This is Will Cain with your Fox News commentary coming up.
You don't see this every day in China, especially not to this degree. There were demonstrations across the country. You can hear him call out China's leader as they chanted, "Down with Xi Jinping." in the anger over his zero COVID policy of imposing strict lockdowns and quarantines to stop the spread of the virus, which has been at record levels there.
Local civil protests are not uncommon in China, but these protests appear to have a different character, more widespread, more bold and brave, more fed up.
It's Republican Senate Leader Mitch McConnell. The White House supports those protesters who did face police crackdowns.
People should be allowed the right to assemble and to peacefully protest policies or laws or dictates that that they take issue with.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby. Now, the White House has also said the zero COVID policy is not effective. Republican Congressman Greg Murphy tells Fox.
As a physician, it's really a counterintuitive to me. You think you're going to go in and hide and the virus is going to run away. No, the virus is just going to sit there until you come back out again. It's vaccination and it is natural immunity that's going to make things go away.
But people in many areas of China remain forced to stay home and stay inside despite those widespread weekend protests.
The first time I heard about the news was my immediate reaction, holy cow, this is happening in China?
Congresswoman Young Kim is a Republican just reelected in California.
Chinese people really expressing their boiled up anger, frustration, and they're expressing these feelings outward through these protests. That's unprecedented scene that we're watching right now. These are rarely seen in China. But the interesting thing is the world is seeing past the Chinese Communist Party's censored filters, and they're sharing videos of thousands of people in China standing up and speaking out against strict lockdowns and against the CCP.
People are tired of being quarantined, especially if they're not even sick, and trying this zero policy where they don't want any spread of COVID, which isn't necessarily working very much.
Right. I think what caused this protest on the street is obviously what we've seen in Xinjiang area, where there were at least 10 people under COVID lockdown who were killed in that apartment complex fire that the firefighters couldn't get to them because their doors were locked from outside. This really caused the anger and outbreak of people's emotions saying enough is enough. People are protesting and they're saying no to their strict COVID lockdowns. They are saying no to authoritarian rule and they're saying yes to freedom, democracy, and decency. So I want to first tell the people in China that American people stand with them.
With these protests that have gotten a little quieter after the weekend, there was talk that maybe China's going to ease some of the lockdown policies. But it's not typical, right, though, for the Communist Party to give in to any kind of a protest, is it?
I do not think they will change their rule, though. My fear is that Xi Jinping may exercise his influence and power over his people and deal with this protest. If it doesn't come under control on its own, another type of Tiananmen Square type of massacre we witnessed in 1989. This is still very much, you know, near to many of our hearts. We've witnessed the images of what happened in 1989 in Tiananmen Square. And I believe Xi Jinping is kind of waiting to see how he should continue to respond to this. And we're seeing Xi Jinping's power being put to the test. This is probably the biggest test of his leadership since he solidified his power last month during the CCP Congress when they convened to give him the unprecedented continued rule, you know, giving him the third term in office.
Now, the White House has come out in support of the protesters, but they're not. There's not much of a warning to China not to crack down.
I saw that. I believe it was the most timid response. We can all say we are, you know, we show support. We can say, you know, we're with you. We You know, we congratulate you on your bravery, you know, speaking out and getting out on the streets and protesting against the regime. But that's not enough at this point. I would like to see more action from our, Biden administration. He and Xi Jinping met not too long ago, but this was before the protest. I wonder if Biden administration will call Xi Jinping and be more firm, be more stern, and ask how he's going to deal with this.
Congresswoman, I'd love to get your reaction to what the Chinese foreign ministry put out in a tweet. The price of freedom in the U.S. is 1 million COVID deaths, 40,000 gun deaths per year, 107,000 fentanyl deaths in 2021 alone. The American people deserve something far better than that.
Authoritarian regimes that want to destroy our democratic values and way of life, they have been emboldened by Russia's invasion of Ukraine, I believe. Look, I am an immigrant who grew up in South Korea during the aftermath of the Korean War. So standing up to these regimes and supporting global human rights, it's deeply personal to me. This is why I appreciate, you know, being an American, living in the United States, that allows me the opportunity to pursue that American dream and live in a free country that allows me to express how I feel. And I remember growing up in South Korea as a young girl, watching the U.S., soldiers driving through our communities or the streets in South Korea where I lived. And they, you know, throw out candies and chocolates. And as a young girl, I remember following those trucks and picking up those. And, you know, these are the people that came to my country, my homeland, to defend the people they never met and to protect a country and people that they didn't know until they were sent there to serve. That's the America I know. That's the America that value freedom and defending and fighting for democracy. And so I want to ensure that the world's future is led by our values of freedom, human rights, and decency, not oppression.
Congresswoman Young Kim is co-sponsoring a bill that the House could vote on this week, and it could pass with bipartisan support. Several Democrats have joined her co-sponsoring the legislation titled the Uyghur Policy Act. It aims to raise international awareness of the way the Uyghurs and other ethnic minority groups are mistreated by the Chinese regime and to empower the U.S. State Department to push back on Chinese efforts to silence those minorities.
First, I want to tell you that we're dealing with the Chinese government that denies carrying out genocide against the Uyghurs and other ethnic minorities that live in China. And we have verified reports of forced sterilization, forced labor, brainwashing, and gang rape in the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region. So my bill, Uyghur Policy Act, will help us lead from a position of strength, and it will address several shortcomings in our existing approach to responding to these human rights abuses. And I believe that our bill will pass this week, which is on the House floor that we'll be voting on. So our government can provide the equipment or equip our government with the tools to better respond to Xi Jinping's genocidal campaign. And I want, through our legislation, the world to know what is happening, especially in China, in the against the Uyghur population in the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region.
I want to shift focus on you, and congratulations on your reelection. I know you've got a second term, and it was not easy because you went through redistricting in California, but you were able to overcome because I know Democrats had targeted your seat.
Yes, they certainly did. But first of all, I'm really thankful for the voters in the new, CA40 district that gave me the ability to continue to represent them and work on their behalf. But I think what this election showed is that people want Congress to work together and lead and address the issues facing Americans on an everyday basis. They want some common sense leadership and deliver results to get them out of this mess that we are in. They have given the Republicans the leadership so that we can lead as a majority party, even though it may be a small, slim majority. That also means we continue to have to work across the aisle and bring results back to our districts. And that's what I'm going to continue to do. So thank you for the listeners, especially for giving me the chance to continue to work on their behalf and work on common sense, pro-growth policies that will get our economy and America back on track.
But you had to meet a lot of new people, and you probably have a lot more to still to meet as you get ready to serve a new district in California.
Yeah, that's what the campaign season has allowed me to do. I've been crisscrossing all across Orange County, my current district in North Orange County, down to very, very far South Orange County areas, and gotten to know many of my new constituency, new communities, new leaders, new communities, new organizations and groups. I've been very accessible, and we have proven that in my current district, my team and I have worked really, really hard to be accessible to their needs, and that will continue.
Congresswoman Young Kim from California, just reelected earlier this month. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me, Dave.
And in other news,
I'm Gianna Gelosi. You've probably been there. You go to book what seems like a great deal on Airbnb, only for your final price to skyrocket, all thanks to those fees that are tacked on only at the end. But now the short-term rental company wants to get involved. They say they're going to roll out some big changes that won't end cleaning fees, but make them more transparent for customers and incentivize hosts to slash what they charge. A June 2022 NerdWallet analysis found 40% of listings had cleaning fees ranging from 20% to 29.9% of the list price of a rental. Cleaning fees were even higher than the nightly rate on some rentals. Starting in December, Airbnb says they're going to launch a toggle so travelers can search results to display all prices, including fees, or do as you do now and search just the nightly rate before those fees. Back in November, Airbnb also adjusted its search algorithm to rank listings by the best total price rather than simply accounting for the nightly rate, which may sway hosts to lower or remove those cleaning fees. Some hosts even charge a cleaning fee and expect guests to do some work themselves before they check out. Along with more transparent cleaning fees, Airbnb says it plans to require hosts to post the cleaning requirements on the listing before guests book. Guests will also now be able to leave feedback on the checkout process. For the Fox News Rundown, I'm Gianna Gelosi.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Rate and review the Fox News Rundown on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
It's time for your Fox News commentary. Will Kane.
What's on your mind?
USA, USA, USA. Hey, it's Will Kane from the Will Kane podcast, and the USA wins. The U.S. men's national soccer team moves on from the group stage to the knockout round of the World Cup by beating Iran 1-0. It was an absolutely incredibly entertaining game. Soccer guy, I don't want to hear from you about how your sport is the garage band that you were into first. Non-soccer fan, I don't want to hear from you how we don't take enough shots and that was boring. And how can you move on only scoring one goal in two games? If you watched, you felt the tension. First of all, there was the geopolitical tension. Look, U.S. Iran, global sponsor of terrorism versus the beacon of freedom in the world. It was U.S. versus Iran, protest on the street of the Islamic Republic. Will the United States embrace this freedom movement? It was U.S. versus Iran as the U.S. Soccer Federation erases the Islamic symbol from the middle of the Iranian flag, resulting in Iran asking for the U.S. to be suspended from the World Cup. It was all of that and win or go home. We come out of the gates creating chance after chance and coming up At the end of the first half, Christian Pulisic flies in off a Serginho Dest header and hits the game-winning goal. Unfortunately, there was more than one ball that got smashed on that game-winning play. Christian Pulisic goes down with an injury, doesn't come back after the half. Captain America takes one in the crown jewels. But America hangs on in a tense second half, keeping Iran, who played much better with much more possession in the second half, from getting into the gold. We're good. We're athletic. We're not win the World Cup good. We're deserve to move on good. I'm telling you, Tyler Adams is a man. He's a short man among men, but he is a man. Pulisic is who he's supposed to be, driving this team forward. Our center backs are the backbone of the team. Weston McKennie is an absolute competitor. We need to see Gio Reyna. We need to score some goals with Josh Sargent, maybe some Jesus Ferreira. But we are in, baby. We're into the tournament. Now we got to take on the Netherlands. Sign up. Get in. Hey, it's a good sport. It's a fun sport. And it is America. Moving on in the World Cup. I'll break this game down, plus the controversy around Balenciaga and the war on Twitter on the latest episode of the Will Cain Podcast.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.